Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will Tease out. Part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com, where you can find all your sports information for your DMV teams. But let me patch in my boy Ray Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, Ray?
Good evening, brother. What's happening?
Everything's good, man. It's great, man. Just swell.
Are you sure?
Yeah, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't I be swell?
Ask Adam Silver, is everything okay? The NBA is going through it right now.
Well, we knew that, though, right? Like, we knew that. Like, you can't, man, you can't replicate what you did with the bubble, man. It's the bubble. That's why I worked.
Well, I'm not sure if you could put the players in a situation like that. And right now, the NBA is trying to implement a bubble outside the bubble because they say you can't talk to this person, you can't go to this restaurant. I just think it's ridiculous. I'm really sitting here contemplating whether the NBA should be playing games right now, bro. And you know, many other sports, including college basketball. I just think it's just not good right now.
It's not.
And safety needs to come first. But I know it's a lot of money at stake.
Of course, man. You know, it's all about money. We know this. Like, we know this, bro.
Teddy DiBiase.
Money. Everybody's got a price. Hey.
There you go.
Hey, subscribe.
That was a good point.
Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-23 in the NFC wild card round of the playoffs. At 8:20, the Washington Wizards losing Thomas Bryant for the season due to an ACL injury, an ACL tear, and also Coach Scott Brooks possibly being on the hot seat. At 8:40, we'll talk about Alabama defeating Ohio State, becoming the college football national champions. Then finally, we'll talk about the NFL playoffs with Minor Football League CEO Richard Miles. So it's going to be hot. It's going to be lit. The show's going to be, it is what it is. It's going to be on fire. But first, as part of the NFC wildcard playoff round, the Washington football team failed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-23. Your thoughts on the game, Ray Jeezy?
Hey, first and foremost, just want to thank all the folks who tuned into our postgame show over on Fox Sports Radio 1340 on Saturday night on the brand new All Burgundy Gold Everything show.
Dope.
And if you heard that, then some of what is said today, I ain't going to lie, it's going to echo those thoughts. However, I've had more time to digest this game. And to add to all the Heineke mania, I just want to say his play in that game is the example of leadership that the Washington football team has lacked all season.
Mm-hmm.
And let me emphasize this because it's been well documented that Chase Young is a leader, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
However, his play on the field, I feel as though, you know, he grew into that role over the course of the season, especially as the team got hot, like right around the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
However, prior to that, I felt as though this team lacked a guy who just leaves it all out on the field, like a Brett Favre type, or, you know, if you're a Hoops fan, like Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some may argue with me, but when your quarterback battles that way, it changes the team dynamic, which we saw such as with the Dolphins and Ryan Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm, and, of course, Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, it was dope.
Yeah, you just have, you know, players don't trick. Players can't fool you. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about your teammates. When you see somebody doing their job and leading, you know what I mean? Like, if you're getting lucky, the player's body language, you'll see it. You know what I mean? Or if you're playing like trash, players will, your fellow teammates will put it out there. You can tell by body language. But when you saw, when that dude, the way that dude was playing over the weekend on Saturday, how Heineke I'm referring to, how he played on Saturday, and seeing how those players gravitated to him and really were like hyped up on the way he was playing, even after the game, man. You had people like Scary Terry saying, man, I'll play with that dude twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not phony. That's just something, you know, it's phony when you just say a statement, right? But when you go extra and you just put on extra superlatives to it, then it's like, all right, you know what? yo, like, these dudes really like playing with this dude, and they really love what he did on Saturday.
Absolutely. And again, it rallied the team. Guys wanted to go out and win. The biggest difference for this Washington football team in this playoff game as opposed to earlier regular season games was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as Bruce Arians said, they took personal all the chatter about how Washington's front four was going to get at Brady. Mm-hmm. And that offensive line for Tampa stepped up.
They sure did.
And if you didn't have all that chatter and this team came in, let's say, a few weeks earlier, let's say this was a regular season game, I think that Washington's defensive line dominates the game. But you had 1 week to prepare for one team. That was your focus. You know it's win or go home, and Tampa stepped up to the challenge. Washington's young, and they'll learn from this experience, and hopefully they'll develop into a great defense. Right now, as I said, you know, over the weekend, they're a great young defense, and they have a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, and I think you're right. They're not great by any stretch of the imagination. It's a lot of potential, right? I think there's a lot of potential what they have in terms of, like, their front four. But there are weaknesses and glaring mm-hmm. weaknesses within that defense that needs to be addressed. Recently, they've released Sean Deion Hamilton, the linebacker who started for him a couple games. So, you can tell that, like that's a position that they're looking to add, you know what I mean? Not to say that he was a starter, but I mean, he's a starter and he's something valuable to have, but you now know, like, they're looking for linebackers in terms of, you know, depth within, like, this, maybe they need another cornerback, safety, you know, whatever. Like, there are rooms for improvement with this ball club. I don't see them going after a safety. I think Reeves and obviously Curl showed out, and Reeves, like, he can play a free safety for him, but linebacker to me is a position that definitely, if you want to say you need a baller, you need a playmaker, linebacker is definitely it. And I feel like you saw in the game against the Buccaneers how they took advantage of that up the middle with tight ends and whatnot, tight ends or crossing routes, when they got caught up with, you know, trying to check Brown or Godwin. You know, they took advantage of that as well. So they're gonna have to improve on some things, but you know, I feel like this is a good step. Chase Young is getting better. I expect Chase Young to get better. I expect Montez Sweat to get better. And, you know, when, you know, just in terms of being a pass rusher, you have to fine tune your game in terms of how to rush the passer. Maybe adding a couple moves to the game, not just being all predicated on what you have athletically and God gifted. Now it's about adding some of that pass rushing skill set to your game to become a more dominant pass rusher. And I think Chase Young will do that, and I think Montez Sweat will do that as well.
Here's the thing. You got two names coming back next season. You got Reuben Foster possibly, right?
He's a free agent, but they could sign him. They could. He's a free agent, but they could sign him back.
Well, why would anybody else sign him? That's what I'm wondering.
I agree. No, I'm with you.
Oh. Based on what I heard, and Jack Del Rio loves Reuben Foster, from mm-hmm. what I heard, mm-hmm. and I feel as though they're going to bring him back just based off of what they saw in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And you also have Landon Collins, who is the conundrum. What do you do with Landon Collins? Do you move him to linebacker?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I heard on Instagram, he said he's going to always be a safety. So, oh, wow. Like, if that is true, I haven't seen it. Someone tweeted that out to me. If that is true, I'm like, that's a problem, because at the end of the day, the way Reeves and Cam Curl played together, and Cam Curl plays his position, you can't take Cam Curl out of that position. And I think the way Reeves played at free safety, you can't take him out of that situation too. I think they really mesh well together. And Reeves is more of a free safety compared to a Landon Collins. So I think Landon should move to linebacker, to be honest with you. I think he would be dope at linebacker. You have Landon. If they do, I hope they re-sign Reuben Foster. And I hope Reuben Foster, the most important thing is I hope Reuben Foster is healthy. If Reuben Foster is healthy, then you got Holcomb, possibly Landon Collins, and Reuben Foster. And I think you have potential now. Now I feel like your linebacking core could kind of match up to what you have on the front four. And also, not just that, you have to make sure that you bring back Jonathan Allen. I, at first, the whole talk was that, you know, this team is deep enough to, you know, let Jonathan Allen go. But at the end of the day, you're 7-9. You're a 7-9 ball club. You can't let talent walk out that room that has Pro Bowl level, had played at a Pro Bowl level this season. You can't let that type of player walk out the room or walk out the building. So you have to make sure you resign Jonathan Allen, and also you have to make sure you resign Brandon Scherff, who was all pro, you know, who's all pro guard. So you can't let talent leave this room, leave that facility, knowing that you're a 79 ball club. Like, if you want to get better, you got to treat your own, and you got to take care of your own.
So, dude, let me ask you this. As a Washington football team fan, this team obviously finished the season on a positive note, which is a change around these parts. And folks are excited. When I say folks, I'm talking about fans, media. People now are also talking about how Ron Rivera might be the best and the longest tenured coach in the NFC East. Uh-huh. How does this team handle the expectations going into next season now, when now it's expected for you to be better going in, and also not just to be better, but to win the NFC East outright? I'm not talking about 7-9. Uh-huh. I'm talking about an actual winning record and possibly dominating football teams defensively. And you might have a new quarterback on your hands. Well, you will have a new quarterback. We just don't know who that's going to be, because we know Taylor's going to – he's going to compete for that starting job. It's already been said.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think – I mean, being a favorite to win the East –
does that scare you a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit too much. A little bit too much about being a favorite to win the East. Let's keep it a buck.
It's the truth, though.
No, let's keep it a buck, man. Dallas Cowboys will probably get better. I feel like they will get better. I'm being real, bro. Dak is coming back. If Dak is back, they'll be a better ball club. They just will be. They'll be a better ball club. I don't feel like I'm trying to play it safe. I'm being real. Like, they're gonna come back offensively with Dak Prescott. They'll have CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. I think, what's his name? Galloway. I keep messing his name up. The other wide receiver from Dallas.
Michael Gallup.
Thank you, Ray. Michael Gallup. Those are three good wide receivers. You got Ezekiel Elliott, and you got the backup running back who seems that is getting some of his carries.
Pollard.
So who's getting some of his carries? Who looks like a dude too. So they're deep offensively, and defensively, I think they just signed. They just hired a coordinator.
Dan Quinn. That's a mistake, but that's cool.
Better than Mike Nolan. It's better than Mike Nolan, though. It's better than Mike Nolan. So, yeah, I think they'll be a better ball club. You know, being real, they'll be a better ball club because they do have talent. At the end of the day, like, the Dallas Cowboys do have talent. So I think they'll be a better ball club. I think the Eagles messed up by letting Peterson go. So I feel like they're going to take a step back. The Giants have some potential to be a better ball club. I feel like, looking with the Giants are building something. Once they get Saquon Barkley back, they'll be a better ball club. I think defensively they do got weapons defensively, so that'll be a challenge. I mean, they beat this team twice in a row, so it's not — they beat Washington two times this season, both times they swept them. So obviously, like, that's a challenge for the Washington football team. So I think, you know, every year something changes in the NFC East anyway. So I forgot the stat that a team hasn't repeated as NFC East champs since a particular date. I forgot the date, but yeah. So I don't expect — I feel like this team's gonna have to compete just like anything, but they just gotta improve on what they're building. That's my thing. Like, don't let anybody out that building that's showing you true value walk out and try to pay for somebody else. Appreciate your own. Appreciate your own, especially your young talent. Appreciate your own young talent.
So I appreciate just your perspective on Dallas. We also know Saquon Barkley returning to the field next year. We're expecting the Giants, hopefully, to be better offensively. Hey, does this make the NFC East now return to what it was, or close to what it was back when we were younger, when NFC East was one of the best divisions of football with some of the best coaches? Again, going back to Joe Gibbs, Buddy Ryan, mm-hmm. Bill Parcells. And does this Dallas-Washington rivalry, does it now, again, have that feel like it used to, where you got a really strong defense going up against a really good offense based on what you just described? Or do we have to take the wait-and-see approach?
I think we got to take a wait-and-see approach, but I do think there's potential, though, bro. No. I do think there's potential.
Right,
I think there's potential for the NFC East to not be the laughingstock of football. I'm being real. Like, there is potential, because if Dak is healthy, right, Dallas is a better ball club. Like, they're a way better ball club. With the Giants, if Saquon Barkley is right, you got one of the more dynamic running backs in the game on your team, and your team already showed that they can play defense. Like, the Giants can strap defensively. So you got a running game, and then now you're mitigating what Daniel Jones has to do in terms of a passer. Like, he doesn't have to throw the ball like 30 times. You can kind of, like, you know, play off play action. And then you kind of, and the Giants have probably figured out that, like, you know what, even in that running back room, they got guys that can toke that rock without Saquon Barkley. So now maybe Saquon Barkley doesn't get as many touches because he can rest his body, but makes him more dynamic in terms of special plays. So it's just like, I feel like there's potential for the NFC East to be a better division, but it's all up to, like, a wait and see approach. Like, back to the thing, it is a wait and see approach. But I feel like, to be real, I think Washington, if I'm being honest, I think Washington is doing the best job in terms of building a foundation.
Okay, who's the best coach in the NFC East as we're currently speaking? Considering the Eagles haven't made a hire yet.
Oh, Ron Rivera. I'll go. Okay. Ron Rivera.
So you got the best coach. Mm-hmm. You have one of the best up and coming young D linemen. You have the best front four in the division. I want to say that, bruh, this team again looks like it has the makings to do some good things next season. Now we got COVID that we have to keep into consideration, which, as you see, it really hurt like a team such as the Baltimore Ravens earlier in the year. I mean, they had to make up some ground because they at one time had 18 guys on the COVID list. So you got to keep that into consideration. Then you have, of course, injuries. So barring injuries, or you're going to have injuries though, but if you can be relatively healthy throughout the course of the season, I think Washington has a really good chance to win the NFC East and do so in a fashion that hasn't been seen right here in a while. But we want to see them compete. That was the goal for this season for many fans, including us here, mm-hmm. who analyze the team. Let's see you compete, and they finish the season on a high note when it comes to competition, bro. They laid it all out there, and what was dope was, again, your quarterback was the guy that was leading the charge on that, and you hadn't seen that all season. So Ron Rivera, kudos to him. He made some good moves, and he overcame a lot to get to this point. Yeah. You cannot go into this off season with anything but optimism. I'm sorry to say, but I don't want to jinx it. I know how you guys.
No.
I heard what you just said.
No, I'm with you.
True.
I'm with you though. I think you should. I think you can be bullish, and I think you can be optimistic about it. I think you're a Washington fan. You can be highly optimistic about it because, again, you're building something. It's all about building a foundation, building a team. You know what I mean? And building a culture and building an identity. And I think they're doing that. So yeah, I feel like fans should be excited about it. And also, we'd be remiss not to give props to Alex Smith for holding it down prior to that calf injury, because if it wasn't for him, this fan base wouldn't be excited. And I know a lot of people get, you know, he has his detractors in Washington fans in terms of, oh, he's a check down dude. He's not trying to go deep. But at the end of the day, he got you guys W's. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you all thought the season was
Absolutely.
Over and getting ready for that draft pick, then, you know, he came in and showed and helped this team go on the streak and win football games and had those players believing and had, you know, certain people who played dormant all of a sudden spark up and play at a high level. So I feel like, you know what, we as fans, everybody, whatever you feel about Alex Smith as a passer in terms of a leader and what he helped for this organization and team do this season, yo, he deserves all the props in the world.
Listen, no argument over here. Again, that was another type of leadership that this team benefited from. Alex Smith, his comeback story, it was a scary one because he came back at the Rams.
Scary, bro.
Aaron Donald was on that back, bro.
Good
stuff. Looking forward to the offseason and talking more watching the football team, including what the name is going to be. It's going to be dope. It's going to be fun. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's probably going to be watching football team. That's probably what it's going to be. All right, man. Wizards, on a sad note, Wizards Center Thomas Bryant tore his ACL and is out for the season. We'll talk about the impact of his injury on the team and Coach Brooks possibly being on the hot seat after break.
Possibly.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
It's me.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, Wole, the homie Will T's out, part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. All right, yesterday, the Washington Wizards defeated the Suns 128-107. They will play the Jazz tomorrow, the Utah Jazz tomorrow. But over the weekend, Wizards center Thomas Bryant tore his ACL against the Miami Heat, meaning he's out for the season. How does Ray? How does this injury impact the Wizards? Who got to step up for him tomorrow and in the future?
First of all, you know the game is canceled, right? Tomorrow is supposed to.
Oh, it got canceled. It did. Okay, all right.
The Wizards did not have enough healthy players due to contract tracing. Right. I think it's Rui and Mo Wagner who are currently in a COVID protocol. Which most likely means that they have positive tests. I'm not saying that's factual, but that's most likely what that means. And that game is already canceled. Mm-hmm. That was big news just before we went on air. Say about an hour before we went on air. So just putting that out there.
Sweet.
But in specific to Thomas Bryant, you know, you have to feel for Thomas Bryant because he had such a strong start to the season. You and I both do not like the style of play with him shooting a lot of threes. But
it's working.
Scott Brooks wants to be Mike D'Antoni, so this is how the Wizards are playing. Mm-hmm. You know, try to outscore teams and not defend.
Mm-hmm.
And thus far, you know, I'm gonna be honest. Thomas Bryant was having the best season of his career.
True.
However, I feel as though his lack of athleticism really hurt sort of defensive end. So to me, a guy like Rui Hachimura, this is your time, bro, to step up in the middle and to display that stretch five type of role that the Wizards so desperately lack, specific to athleticism or athletic bigs. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. I think a player that needs to step up, for me, would probably be Mo Wagner. Mo Wagner, see whatever, how you say his name, right? Correctly. It's mm-hmm. not Wagner. It's Wagner. It's like a V, Wagner, right?
Wagner.
Yeah, Mo Wagner.
Yeah.
So a player like Mo Wagner has to, like, I think this is a great opportunity because for a while, right, he wasn't getting any burn. And then over the last couple of days, he's gotten more burn. But with Brian being out, I feel like this is an opportunity for him to kind of shine. Obviously, Robin Lopez, I mean, he has to show out being an enforcer, a big who plays defense, moves his feet, blocks shots, intimidates guards or centers who are trying to finish it around the basket. So I feel like he has to step up. But for me, I think this is a great chance for Mo Wagner. This is it for him. Like, you know, this is an opportunity because, you know, they didn't extend your contract. The option, they didn't exercise the option on him. This is an opportunity to show out because if you're not playing for the Wizards in the future, you're playing for other organizations.
Is it safe to say, though, that we know what Mo Wagner brings to the table offensively? It's just, he can't play defense.
Yeah.
Team defense, though, if you play a team concept, I feel as though Mo Wagner would be fine. But, you know, him and Bertans, these guys, they stand out so bad when you watch the team play defense because of the way they're being coached. And I know we're going to get to Scott Brooks, but I don't mind Mo Wagner being in line. And to me, he's shown more fire this season. He's shown more emotion, which, you know, that's my thing. He wants to be on the court because, as you mentioned, I think on last week's show or the previous week, he's been in the doghouse with Scott Brooks.
Yeah.
Scott Brooks has called him out in interviews, which is wrong because Scott Brooks has had so much gold left with his team since he's been at the helm. And you're going to meet target or you're going to single out Mo Wagner. But the fact of the matter is that him singling out Mo Wagner to the media shows where Mo Wagner stands. So Mo Wagner is now taking advantage of the opportunity. I feel like him and Denny was getting into an argument, either that or he's just trying to be a leader. But whatever it needs to happen, if he needs to show more fire, if he needs to step up his effort on defense, whatever he needs to do, he needs to make sure that he puts in the work so that he can stay on the court. Because, again, offensively, I like him. I feel like he makes a dangerous team. And this is a mess of an NBA season where the Wizards, even with their record, they're like two games out of first place. You know, no, there's no front runner. Nobody's running away with the Eastern Conference at large. So I would take advantage of this shortened season. I mean, it is a shortened season, or just the dynamic of the season, I should say. You're not out of it, not even close. And Mo Wagner has a chance to be an integral part of what they do going forward if he can put the effort in.
My man Cameron put out everybody needs to step up, but I liked our second unit last night. Very effective on both ends of the floor. Every mm-hmm. It's funny, every game, like when I watch Mo Wagner play, I know I feel like we're making this a Mo Wagner show now. When I watch him play, when I watch him play, I don't, maybe it's the individuals he plays with, they play harder, even on defense, they play harder. Like they do, like even for all the, like you said, Ray, like for all this, the stuff that Scott Brooks has called him out on, I feel like when he's on the floor with Garrison Matthews and folks like that, those dudes play harder. Like they're playing hard defense. They may not be good defenders, but to your point, they play good team defense. I actually think Garrison Matthews.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually think Garrison Matthews is a good defender. But yeah, I mean, they play good team defense, and you see effort with Mo Wagner in the game, different from other players. You know what I mean? Like we talk about Bertans. Sometimes when I watch Bertans, I don't see the effort. And you know I like Bertans, but I don't see the effort defensively. There's times games I'm watching him, I'm like, dude, you're not even trying for real. Like you're not. You're just trying to get your three off. That's all you worried about is shooting them like Steph Curry threes off a curl. And that's all you really worried about. Like you ain't worried about defense. But at least when I watch somebody like Mo, like when I watch him play, I'm like, yo, you at least you trying. Like you're not the greatest defender. Like, yeah, when you in the block against a big who got skill, that's barbecue chicken. Like they going, it's clockwork right there. And everybody know it. I'm not saying that he's a good defender, but you can tell that he tries to play defense though.
I'm glad you mentioned Garrison Matthews. I've had the privilege of covering the Capital City Go-Go. Obviously, Garrison Matthews on a two-way contract. So I saw a lot of him. And I will say this. He relates to Mo Wagner in the sense that right now, he's seizing his opportunity. Whenever Garrison Matthews plays at the NBA level, not the G League level, but the NBA level, he gives it 110%. And you can see it in his shooting and his following the game plan, running the plays, defensive effort. I heard that when he practices with the Wizards, he goes at Bradley Beal like he wants to be the best. Now, on the G League level, he didn't play as hard. That's just my assessment of watching him. But he is trying to make the most of his opportunity, just like Mo Wagner appears to be doing that right now. So when you put guys who are hungry for an opportunity on the floor to get, like Gary Payton was last season. Remember, he came
He was like,
you know, provided a spark off the bench.
Sure did, yeah.
It's the same dynamic with these guys, and you factor in a guy like Neto. Neto always comes in and brings energy.
Yes.
He's a defensive liability at times too. Markel exposed him.
Oh, he's exposing.
And Markel exposed Ish. Everybody looked so small when the Wizards played Orlando, which made a huge difference. But again, we're talking about team defense. If they would have played better team defense in that Orlando, in those Orlando games, then you probably at least split.
Yep.
So we're right. We want to see effort, just like we're watching the football. We want to see them compete. If these young guys and these bench guys are coming in and contributing and bringing that energy level that sometimes a guy like Beal or Thomas Bryant just doesn't provide, then, yeah, you got to support having them on the floor. It's just the coach.
Yeah.
Like, one game you see in Troy Brown, one minute you see in Wagner, next game they're DMPs. It's Scott Brooks that's the issue.
All right, man. You went right to it, man. Kevin O'Connor, of the Ringer, reported that Coach Scott Brooks is firmly on the hot seat. Is this fair? And if so, what does he have to do to get off the hot seat?
What made you ask? Is this fair? That's what I want to know.
Look, man. I had to ask that question, right? Because I didn't want to say like a Scott Brooks hater. Because I'm sure there's somebody out there that's like, it's not his fault. So I wanted to make sure I put it out there to say, is it fair? And you know, I know the answer for both of us is yes, it's fair. But I want to know. Let's skip the fair part. Like, all right, what could he do to get himself off the hot seat?
I mean, that's easy.
Go ahead, Ray.
Obviously,
go ahead.
Of course, you have to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that you have to improve upon your most glaring weakness.
No defense.
And the whole world knows it. And as defense, it has to be that. But he deserves to be on the hot seat simply because when you had Bradley Beal and John Wall at the height of their careers, Randy Whitman had these guys with Paul Pierce and some others.
Defense, bro.
Had these guys on the verge of going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Unfortunately, John Wall got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And John Wall and not just John Wall, the John Wall and others, including Markieff Morris,
Otto Porter,
Gortat, Otto Porter, they fell out of favor with Randy Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a disconnect. That's the year you and I believe, 2017, we began to cover the team, and you saw the locker room dynamic. And Randy Whitman was just – Randy
Good
Whitman
jerk.
Was a old-school, hard-nosed, my way or the highway. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So these guys, they stopped responding. So you bring in a guy like Scott Brooks, and you expect that the Wizards will maintain a high-level play. And unfortunately, it's just been a drop-off. you lose to the Toronto Raptors in the playoffs. Now the Boston series is probably the highlight.
Yeah.
a losing series is probably the highlight of Scott Brooks' tenure here.
Yeah.
But you get eliminated by a Toronto team that clearly LeBron had their heart, and you have the best backcourt in basketball at the time, arguably. So Scott Brooks has failed to meet the expectations when he was hired. And really, we all believe that he was hired to recruit Kevin Durant. Anyway, instead we get Russell Westbrook years later.
Good point.
The whole experiment probably is
trash. Good point, bro.
Because of Ted, dude.
Hey, trash.
It goes all the way up to Ted Leo. I love Ted, though.
That's trash.
That. It's a lot of folks that do not like Ted Leon. I'm not going to say no names, but I'm not one of them.
Hey, this is...
And Ernie. Of course, Ernie got to get mentioned.
Of course, Ernie got to be mentioned. Hey, Ernie was mentioned all last year, for real. So my man Trey Hamilton posted, I'm stuck in the middle in terms of Scott Brooks. I'm stuck in the middle. On one hand, I know deep down things ain't going to change, so he needs to go. But then I want us to win. So, but if we win, Brooks stays. I don't know.
Listen here, I just don't feel like he demands the most out of his players. I was reading an article the New York Knicks. Look at them; they're playing much better this season, right?
Yeah.
And why do you think that is? Because players are now having to be held accountable.
You
heard the name Dennis Smith Jr. this season?
He played. I saw him play. I watched the Knicks game. He played early, but he barely gets burned like that.
He plays sparingly, though. He plays sparingly.
Agreed.
Because the effort is not there. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Smith Jr., we love him. We think he's talented.
I love him,
he's
dude,
super
man.
Athletic.
I love
but
that kid.
If he's not putting forth the right effort, he's not going to be on the court. And Thibodeau is calling him out on it. And right now, I don't know how he's responding to it, but that's the type of coach that I want on this team. Somebody that's going to push the envelope. Somebody that's going to challenge his players, including the best player, which is right now Bradley Beal, as opposed to right now Tommy Shepard and Scott Brooks appear to be bowing to
Brad
and to Russ. Not that I don't like these
to
guys.
To Brad more than
I like
Russ.
Both players. But, dude, who is running the ship right now? A losing ship. You have to reestablish control of the team. Scott Brooks, in my eyes, doesn't have that right now. But Bradley Beal criticizing the defense publicly appeared to provide a spark, and they took it to our boy last night, a friend of the show, PG County, baby, Monty Williams.
They did, though. They gave him that work, bro. I was like, I looked at the score. I was like, what? They beating the Suns? I was like, I was hurt. That hurt my feelings. Hey, but you peep what Chase Hughes said on – he tweeted this, and I guess this is something that Scott Brooks said. So Chase Hughes tweeted this. He said, Scott Brooks said the Wizards – have adjusted their offense to run more design plays rather than actions, which are common in today's NBA. It's led to fewer turnovers. We're not playing as free flowing. We're adding more structure. We were playing too random. I was like, bruh, like, aren't you a coach? Do design plays. That's what you should have been. You should have done that, especially when you've been losing. Design plays for everybody else. You've been running free-flowing offense for what talent?
Oh, see, and this is that's what lacked when Wall was here. When Wall was healthy, this is what lacked. Seriously. there was a lack of structure sometimes to their offense when John Wall was on the court. And at the time, you still had Markieff Morris. You still had guys who could stretch the floor, who could shoot. And I just don't understand what he was trying to accomplish. And then you would see if it came down to a one-possession game, You would see one-on-one, Bradley Beal get the ball and ISO.
Yeah.
It's like, what the heck is this?
It's like, so you weren't running plays?
Don't understand, dude.
Like, you weren't running plays? Like, you were just doing free-flowing? Like, I'm just saying, like, dude, and you only have one real one-on-one scorer, and that's Bradley Beal. So you're telling me, like, you're running free-flowing plays, and you only got one player that's really an ISO player for real? At this particular point in time, I'm not saying Russ isn't, but at this particular point in time, you got one efficient, I'm going to call it efficient one-on-one player, and you're running a bunch of free-flowing plays. You the one, man. Like, and it took you this long to decide that you need to go to running plays? You the one, man. You definitely the one.
So you're asking about Scott Brooks potentially being fired, which is not a shock, of course.
Yeah.
But we had Troy Halliburton on last week. Shout out to him. He was dope. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned he feels as though Bradley Beal has not finished this season in a Wizard uniform. In your opinion, what happens first? Scott Brooks ousting or Bradley Beal being or Bradley Beal being traded?
Scott Brooks being ousted before Bradley Beal gets traded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Bradley Beal probably stays. I don't think he'll be gone this year. But
even with the new coach,
I think that if he's fired, it's because of Bradley Beal. If he stays, okay. The only way to me, I feel like if Bradley Beal is sick of losing, then if he's sick of losing, then he should know that this coach isn't going to help him win. So he should be on board with firing Scott Brooks. If he wants Scott Brooks to be here, then that says a lot about Bradley Beal. I know it's cool. He may be friends with Bradley Beal, and that's cool and that's dope. But if he's about winning, if that's when he comes out and says, "Yeah, I'm about winning," and you still endorsing Scott Brooks, then we can kind of go through it and say, you know what are you really about? Because you're about winning, he's part of the reason why you're not winning.
Listen. A culture change helped the Washington football team, and right now it looks like that's what's needed with the Wizards. Although I haven't given up hope again because of the craziness of this COVID plague season, I feel as though Washington is right in the thick of it, and they have the talent to turn it around. It's just a matter of consistency on defense. And as we just talked about, offensively running sets and committing less turnovers, giving less opportunities for your opponent. Mm-hmm. So Scott Brooks might be around, but if it buys him an extension, that might be frustrating for many of us who want to see a fresh start for a new coach. And I'm a Wizards fan. I'm putting it out there. Yeah. Everybody knows that anyway.
Everybody knows it.
Still,
you're the man.
If I'm biased, then, hey, it's about the Wizards, baby. Real talk.
Real talk. You're the man. You're the man. That's the reason you're a Wizards fan. All right. Hey. Last night, Alabama won the college football championship. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole, Will Tease Out, part of Sports Journey. So make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. Ray, can you introduce our cool guest, bro?
Oh, most definitely. You already know what it is. So our guest is no stranger to the Urban Sports Scene. He's made an appearance here before, actually had some great insight on the Washington football team prior to the start of the season, and we're excited to have him back. He's actually making an early entrance to the Urban Sports team tonight, and this brother needs no introduction, but I got to give him some love because he's just such an advocate for our community, for African-Americans, for empowering African-Americans and entrepreneurship and about the young people in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And of course, he is the CEO of the Minor Football League. He is Mr. Richard Miles. What's up, brother?
How you doing, sir? Thank you for having me.
Oh, no doubt, man. So, Mr. Miles, we're going to bring you right into the conversation. You're the CEO of the Minor Football League, which is a professional football league, brother. As you always say, There's no such thing as a semi-pro. You either professional or you ain't. But to become a professional, brother, you got to play college football. And last night, there was a college football national championship in Alabama. They did some damage. Nick Saban might be the GOAT, brother. Give us your thoughts on the game.
Well, I mean, Alabama is Alabama, but I don't have any respect for the head coach. You had a kid out there to barely run, and you up, and you not thinking of this kid well-being by even going out there. Run.
Yeah.
And people say, well, he wanted to play. No, you the head coach.
True,
that
facts.
Kid just had surgery not long ago, and you got them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I'd like to see them play a healthy Ohio State team. You and I know that wasn't a healthy Ohio State team. Mm-hmm. The quarterback was hurt. I don't think he should have played, but he wanted to help his team try to win. When the halfback went out the second play of the game, then you had linebackers. Their top linebackers couldn't play because of COVID. So Alabama's Alabama, but I'm not sold on them. I like to see a healthy Ohio State team and like to see them go up against that.
Yeah, I had a problem with Waddle. You know what I'm saying? Waddle playing. I thought I'm with you. I think you give him props for like being a soldier, right? Like, you know, playing for your team. But at the end of the day, it's the coach's job. Like, you know, this dude's draft status is amazing. Like, he's a first rounder without even playing, you know, but you're now putting that in jeopardy by letting him play. Come on, I saw him play when I knew it was an ankle injury, but when I knew the extent of the ankle injury, I was like, yo, why is he playing? And then when he had the one catch already, I was like, he already had a catch. You brought him right back in the game. And then he's hobbling. Like, he's noticeably hobbling. And you're still putting him out there on the field. I'm like, that don't make any sense. Like, it's a first rounder. Like, you messing with this kid's money. Like, that don't make no sense.
Mess with his livelihood.
Yeah.
And secondly, gentlemen, look what happened to a Heisman Trophy winner. You and Ohio State's not going to do anything to you. And now, look what you did. You got him. He broke two fingers.
Yeah, broke two fingers.
You was up by three touchdowns. Why is he playing? That's what happens when you keep people in there and you really don't know. And my question is to Lou Saban, is it about, you know, the individual, these young kids, or is it about Alabama? Now, that kid got two broken fingers. You know, you need your hand to catch the ball, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it comes to Lou Saban, I really don't have that much respect for him because of what he did. And I just was sad. But I think it was a good game, you know, looking at what you were playing against. But I also want to give a shout out to the Washington team, gentlemen. I love about them young players. They never retreated the whole night.
Yeah.
Now, you know me, I'm a Patriot guy, but I didn't want to go to win that one. And more importantly, gentlemen, you got to look at that young team. And people didn't give him a chance, but knowing football and understanding it, not from a spectator's perspective and looking at it from someone that played, on any given day, you can be beat, don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, that Washington team scared the jeebus creepies out of them. And not for their lack of talent, I think their inexperience would cost them, because if you look at a couple of them touchdowns, instead of going too high, you going man to man and no safety in the middle of the field. It was like for Brady, that was like taking candy from a baby. So, you know, I just have to give them individuals their props. And one more comment.
Yeah.
They definitely need help with the linebacker core. The linebacker core. You can test that, you can fit them, make some changes with the secondary. But other than that, not take you off of what we're talking about, college, but I just have a lot of respect for that, for them young guys.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that, because it actually does kind of fall in line with what we're talking about. Because what I want to ask you is, now you just mentioned the Washington football team, Ron Rivera looking like he's establishing something good here. In Alabama, I know you just mentioned Nick Saban, but do you think that Clemson typically gives Alabama the most challenge or the most difficulty because they have an established program? Ryan Day is a good coach, but we know that was Urban Meyer's program just a few years ago. So does consistency help at that level or at both levels? I mean, you see the teams that are always successful, the Pittsburgh Steelers of the world, again, Alabama, Clemson, because they have consistency at the coaching position and they have strong leadership. Did that factor into why Ohio State couldn't get it done, in addition to what you already talked about with injuries and COVID?
No, I picked Ohio State to beat Bama. I probably wanted the people that picked them, because I'm not looking at it from a fan perspective. I'm looking from a player and a coach perspective. Ohio State was not a healthy team. And you know the old saying, you can't make the club in the tub. If that was a healthy quarterback, Ohio State got a problem. I mean, Alabama got a problem. If their running back didn't get hurt, they got a problem. I give it to the kid that won the Heisman Trophy. But don't forget, Ohio State got some heck of a receiver. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you can't do nothing, when you beat up, as we were laughing at a lot of announcers this year talking about New England is trash. And then we laugh because we say, well, congratulations, you beat the JV team.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody knew New England wasn't up to full tilt.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, that wasn't an Ohio State is Ohio State. Just don't forget it, gentlemen. An Ohio State team can beat the Bama team at full tilt. I really believe it because I'm looking at players. I'm looking at coaches. Ohio State always had good coaching. So don't let that game deter you. Remember, that's the same Ohio team, Ohio State team, ran Clemson off the field.
Okay? Mr. Miles, I ain't gonna lie, you sound biased, man. You sound biased right now. You sound like you don't like Bama too much.
I mean, I'm just looking at from a coach's perspective. I mean, Ohio State got a good team. They just was hurt. Think about it, gentlemen. A healthy Ohio State team going in there, especially with the quarterback. Man, he was I wouldn't have even played him personally because everybody know he had cracked ribs, but he played. Mm.
So did that hurt his draft stock, you think, Justin Fields?
No, because he can get ready by then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that he showed a lot of gut by even playing. But you're going to tell me 3-4 weeks ago, that same quarterback when they ate Bama up, the reason I gave him, they was kind of even across the board. I gave the edge to Ohio State because of their quarterback. He can make things happen with his feet.
Well,
you know?
He's now being projected to go somewhere around number 15 as opposed to at number 4 to the Atlanta Falcons, which is the team I root for. Atlanta looking like they might take BYU's quarterback, which is also a good choice. He's tough. But we'll see what happens with Justin Fields. And this is why you do have to monitor players and you have to manage them, I should say, delicately, because you got guys with a lot of money at stake heading on to the next level. Mm-hmm. So on both sides, coaches probably made a mistake with putting certain players on the field, as we just mentioned, and Waddle on Alabama side, and of course Justin Fields. But listen, I don't know if Alabama loses to Ohio State, even if they were healthy. I'm just being real. Alabama is so deep, and as I said, there are only certain programs that can compete with Alabama, and of course Clemson is one, because I just feel as though Clemson is right there neck and neck in terms of longevity and consistency with the coaches. But you know what, Mr. Miles, I ain't here to question your wisdom, brother. I just feel as though it's tough to evaluate when you had COVID just really ruin the season, especially for Ohio State, with so many games being postponed. So it sucks that we didn't get a chance to really see the best play against the best. And obviously Ohio State came in wounded, but injuries are part of the game.
Absolutely. And you can't say that, but what was that? 3-4 years ago? If not, if my memory, you know, I'm a little older now, gentlemen. when that Ohio State against Alabama, in that national championship game, or was that Alabama they beat? I think it was when they had a running back for Dallas. What's his name?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah,
I don't know if they beat Bama, though. I'm not sure they beat Bama. I know they forgot who they beat.
No, they beat like Oregon, I think.
They ain't beat Bama. I don't think
it was.
I don't know if it's Oregon.
Bama
I don't think Bama made it that year.
That was
the best team. That was probably their best team in a long time. That was Ohio State's probably best team in a while. That was a good team. I know the team that you're talking about had Zeke. They had a bunch of bodies. They had a bunch of. Was Cardale Jones the quarterback?
Yeah, he played that one game because of an injury.
I think Cardale Jones. Yeah, I think it was the. It wasn't Bama. I know the only team that beats Bama in the championship is Clemson recently. That's of late. That's because, again, the only thing
it was Oregon.
Yeah. Okay. So the only thing about Clemson is because, you know, obviously the coach comes from Bama too. There's also an element of certain teams. You can just tell certain teams just fear the name Bama and what they've done. Some players just fear Bama. But the one thing I like about Clemson is that, one, they know they can match talent for talent. And then secondly, they're just not scared of Bama. Like, Clemson's just not scared of Bama, period. When they step on the field, they believe that, you know what? You're gonna have to do whatever it takes to beat us. Cause you can come on this field and think this Bama name gonna work for you, but it ain't gonna work here. And then you got other teams that play like Notre Dame and other teams that when they play Bama,
Notre Dame should never get
exactly.
Ever again.
Yeah. So like when they play a team like Bama, they automatically, just because it's Bama, they already are shook. Like they're just shook. And that's the thing that when I like Clemson so much, and even Georgia that year, is that like teams like that, they don't fear the name Bama. They'll play you and they're like, you know what? You wear a jersey like we wear a jersey and we got talent like you got talent. So we just going to rock and whatever happens, happens. And I like teams like that who play Bama. But I do have a question for you, Coach. I mean, Mr. Miles, is that Mr. in terms of like that game, it had a bunch of NFL prospects in that game. In terms of the players, who would you like to see like a team like Washington draft between those two teams?
Well, you know, don't be misled about what you saw Saturday, last Saturday with the quarterback that the Redskins had.
Mm-hmm.
They never had no film on the kid, and the kid just had one of those days. But don't sell your house and give it to him yet.
Yeah.
The Washington team definitely need a quarterback. They have to address that.
Okay.
They have to address that. And don't think because he played, that was 1.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't do that. That's a mistake that over the history of the Washington team already made. The quarterbacks don't work out as well, but they definitely have to get themselves a quarterback. They have to address that. And I'm going to say this to you guys, because y'all are a lot younger than me. I'll tell you the biggest train robbery in history when the Washington team traded Sonny Jurgensen, Norm Snead to the Eagles for Sonny Jurgensen, and the rest was history. Y'all check that out.
Uh-huh.
Now, who came to be the Hall of Fame and everything, right?
Yeah, Sonny.
Remember that?
Yeah, Sonny.
Tell her that.
Yeah.
Of course.
We there, y'all.
For the Washington team. Don't let nobody fool you talking about he's doing everything. Get Carson Wentz because, you know, he's still rough.
Ooh,
young.
Okay.
That would be the perfect piece to the puzzle.
Mm.
Think about it. You got a lot of young people here, young receivers here. You definitely need to address another receiver, a deep threat for the Washington team. But where they're really lacking at, and they give you time to groom another quarterback, but get Carson Wentz. They don't want him. This is a great time to do it. It's just like the great train robbery back then in the 60s with Norm Snead. I would say before they let Haskins go, trade him for Carson Wentz. Give him and a few other players and get Carson Wentz. I was saying that to a lot of people. I was on several shows and everybody say, Dr. Miles, we never thought about that. Mm. You know, things happen and you know, gentlemen, timing is everything. Get Carson Wentz.
I actually like that. I like that.
Hey, you think that's the greatest train robbery since the Dallas Cowboys traded what's his name to Minnesota for all the players they stole.
Was it Herschel Walker? Herschel Walker?
The Super Bowl.
It's Herschel Walker, right? Yeah.
Because he was no good to them because he was one man. Mm-hmm. But look at all the draft choice they got, and look what they end up doing.
Yep.
So Carson Wentz, if the Washington team really want to make this thing work, they got the nucleus of something that, you know, if you don't learn about history, you'll it will repeat itself. Then when RG3 and them was here, that was a young team. That team should have won 4 or 5 Super Bowls. But what happened when RG3 got hurt, that killed it. Then what's the name, started trading all them young guys out of there. It killed Washington. That was a team that could stay together for at least 10 years and would have won at least 3 Super Bowls, gentlemen. And if you look at what they had, believe me, they could have won. Now,
sound like Tony Levin.
Think about it. But,
yeah.
Carson Wentz.
I like it.
Carson Wentz addressed the linebacker situation because they had no linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
The guy Boston, he wouldn't be starting for most teams. But
I agree.
He was, you have to go with what you have.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree. We're going to continue our discussion with Minor Football League CEO Richard Miles. Also, and we're going to talk about the NFL playoffs, and we're going to actually dive in into the NFL. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis. You dig? Deuces. Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. Need them, take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts gonna freeze them, first time they fuss, I'm breezing, talk about what's the reasons, I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, why my better trust and believe them, in the cut where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's BB, then I'm picking them up, then I play when they cook in the truck, many chicks wanna put chicken fists and cuffs, divorce them and split his bucks, just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I toss with nothing, y'all be frontin', me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen, I'll be forever macking, hardcore to the fastest, I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting, mommy get your ass in here, let's ride, check them out now, ride, let's ride, check them out now, ride. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, myself, Wole, Will Tease Out. We're part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. All right, got another good question. We it's time to talk about the NFL playoffs. We got Mr. Miles on. You know, I want to talk about the NFL playoffs, but you know what? I want to talk about the NFL first, though. So, Mr. Miles, can you remind our listeners about who haven't heard you when you were on the show? Can you remind them about the NFL?
Absolutely.
The floor is yours. Have it. Let them all know about what is the NFL. Let the floor is yours. Saul, it's your show right now.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, the NFL is the Minor Football League. The Minor Football League provided an opportunity that young people don't find outside of college or professional football. And I tell guys all the time, it's not that you're not good enough to play in the NFL. It's not enough room. It has to be another league. It has to be another league. And just like you have minor league soccer, D-League basketball, you have to have a minor league system. People used to think that, okay, the NFL, we don't need it because we got college. You and I know these kids not develop enough. You take the Haskins, I hate to use him, you can't play 1 year. And you're playing against teams that you got better players than everybody else, so of course you're going to shine. But when you get in the National Football League, that's a different animal. You know what I mean? So that's an opportunity NFL provides. We have I own 32 franchises, which 16 franchises here in America, and I'm putting 16 over in Africa. Yes, we'll have the first World Bowl ever. The champion of the NFL champions here will play the National Minor League champion over there in Africa. So these are some of the things I want to do because, as you know, HBCUs don't get no love. A lot of kids looked over. Now you have the Minor Football League. We have all the different scouts always come to the game, the NFL or CFL. But the main thing is to give these guys an opportunity to play. And you know, and the league is for former players. I like to bring former players from the field to the front office. And I want these young men to know football, we care about them because it's beyond the field. What happens when you can't play no more? Now you're talking about entrepreneurship, and we teach these guys how to manage their money and economic development. And, of course, we're about the community as well. We have programs work with at-risk youth that, and the great thing about it, all our players have to do 100 hours of community service. The NFL is not new. A lot of people see it. They get excited. Wow, is this new? This will be our 28th year that the NFL has been around, and a lot of people just finding out about it because I say thank God for social media, gentlemen. You know, but we have a great mayor here in the nation capital. I do my show right there at the office of cable and television and movies at DC Radio. Our show come on Saturday mornings at 11. We also do a live NFL sports podcast on Wednesdays, and we do it on Fridays from 5 to 6. But we're excited. We have right now over 5,000 players registered for the 16 franchises we have here in America.
Mr. Miles, so before I want to ask you a question about Africa, but also tell our listeners a bit about how, you know, an entrepreneur, a chance to be an entrepreneur can be available with the MFL, a chance to own their own franchise, a chance to have ownership of a football team. How does that work with your league, and what opportunities do you just have for individuals who want to get into ownership, but, you know, like you said, there's not enough opportunities with the NFL?
Absolutely. And I have to commend you guys for your platform that y'all have. Y'all doing a great job. I listen to your show all the time. And not just because you have normally, your show is very informative, and I like that. Mm. Very informative. So the NFL is the laboratory of change. And what we mean by that, you know, it's always been a glass ceiling when it comes to people of color. The NFL do a great job, but the NFL is 79% African-American, but you have no owners. You have no GM. Mm. And you barely have the coaches that when it's time to get fired, who go first, right? Mm-hmm. So now you have to understand generational wealth, something you could pass down. You guys have a great show. If you don't own that show, you can't pass that show down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about sports, you can pass it down to your kids' kids. Yes, we have an opportunity that you can own your own franchise here in the National Minor Football League. We have Dr. Pat Freeman up there in Rochester. I want y'all to really take a look at the social media and look at the Rochester Chargers page. He's doing a great job. We got a 20,000 seat stadium up there. Mm. We have Dr. Ms. Eubanks. She owned, she's going to be the first woman to own a professional franchise, the 49ers down there in Fort Lauderdale. Mm. So we're excited about that. And we also have people of color at the helm, at the GM position. Mm. But but I want people to understand this is not the Negro League now, you know. We're not saying that it's not open for Caucasian Americans, because we do have some GMs that are Caucasian descent. But we want them to understand that this is the time that people of color understand. If COVID-19 didn't tell you a lot of things because it was deadly, it's time for us to reevaluate ourselves, and it's time for ownership. And that's what the MFL provides, and also economic development, jobs where there were no jobs.
Oh, absolutely, brother. Well, we plan to be there with you. And you mentioned Pat Freeman, just a great example, because if I'm not mistaken, Pat Freeman tried to get some opportunities in the NFL, and he couldn't get any. I believe hearing him say in one interview that he heard nothing back from an NFL team when he reached out, and he just loved the Minor Football League and the opportunity that it gave him to be an owner. I love what he's doing. And now you're also giving opportunities to brothers over in Africa. My man, Wole, you can tell him you're of Nigerian descent. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. And talk about how exciting it is for the brothers over in Africa, how eager they are to bring football, professional football, to Africa. Give our listeners a little bit of nuggets about that before we move on, bro.
Absolutely. If you look at that NFL draft, gentlemen, the last draft, look at where them guys from.
Oh, yeah, Nigeria. That's
forget
a lot of
the
them.
Schools.
A lot of them.
Look at that last
A name. Lot from Nigeria.
Right?
A lot, yes.
There you go. So you see the great thing about it, but Africa is one of the richest continents in the world. It has 50 countries over there. Imagine the MFL bringing economic development to their ownership with their own professional franchise. Now you talk about generational wealth. What is the one thing that even the biggest sport in the world that, you know, the Olympics don't have? And that's Football.
Football.
Think about
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you think about this gentleman, the first World Bowl were the best over there in Africa, played a champion over here. And I know y'all are gonna cover that. And we have some, you know, we're going over Egypt, you know, Nigeria, Sierra Leone. I mean, this is something that's happening, gentlemen. The only reason we're not over there now is because of the COVID virus. But I mean, this is we're met with all the different, I mean, if you follow us, you see us meeting with everybody. This is great. Oh, yeah. This is history, gentlemen. More importantly, it get a chance for people of color to own something for a change. Something that we made other people rich from.
Yes, definitely.
Great stuff. Great stuff. So we appreciate you sharing. I encourage all of our listeners to go to your website. The MFL is here. Did I say that right? Or is it just MFL
is here?
Right.
The MFL is here. It's here.
MFL is here. Absolutely. And check out your show. Hopefully me and Wole can join you. We've been discussing it for a while, and I'm looking forward to the future, looking forward to what 2021 and beyond is going to bring to the Modern Football League, and the opportunity is going to give young men who feel as though maybe they don't have an equal opportunity at the next level. But transitioning into NFL playoffs, you mentioned it earlier, you're a Patriots guy. For those who don't know that's listening, Mr. Miles played for the Patriots, and I ain't gonna lie, man, it's kind of good to have some new teams in the mix, including the Buffalo Bills, who they'll play host to the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens got some ties in this area. There's some Ravens fans. I'm sure you know something, Mr. Miles. What do you anticipate happening in that game?
Well, right now, gentlemen, as I say before, if you don't learn about history, history will repeat itself. Baltimore was red hot last year. What killed them was the bye. You know what I mean? They didn't need the bye. What killed the New England Patriots was they had to go in the first round. They were too beat up. If they had got the bye, you'd have seen different people in that Super Bowl. Now, Baltimore is the most dangerous team in the National Football League playoffs. Mark my words. They're the most dangerous team. So I would go with Baltimore, gentlemen.
Baltimore, okay.
Okay.
They're any more dangerous than Kansas City and Pat Mahomes? That light skinned brother, killer.
Yeah, but you look at that dark skinned brother. Let me say this to you. Kansas City is a good team, but Kansas City defense is not that good.
Yeah, facts. That's true. It's not.
So what you need, Oakland gave you the floor, the format to beat them. All you got to do is keep the ball, keep it away from him, and score. The problem Oakland had, Oakland gave him too much time when they scored.
Yeah.
They were so busy. But if you look at Oakland, Oakland got their number, gentlemen.
They do.
So if you look at that, Baltimore is a much better team than Oakland.
They do.
Their defense is better. Mm. Their offense is better. And I'm telling you, he is the X factor. I'm telling you, that quarterback up in Baltimore, I mean, you give it, I'm telling you, I'm going to go out on the limb and say Baltimore represents the AFC.
I do have a question for you. I do have a question for you, too, because that dark-skinned dude, a killer, too. So I want to put that out there, too. He definitely a killer. But, like, all right, so my brother and I had this discussion because I'm really trying to – because I love Michael Vick. Like, Michael Vick is my guy. Like, he's always been my guy. And Ray know this. Like, I'm pro Mike Vick. But I'm, like, watching Lamar and I'm watching Vick. And I'm, like, now I'm about to say, like, I think Lamar might be faster than Vick. Do you see that? And that used to be hard for me to say. Do you think Lamar Jackson is faster than Michael Vick?
I'll agree with that.
I would say so.
Okay.
I would say so. Yeah, I would definitely say so. Mike was kind of a slash of runner. This Lamar is just, see, a lot of people don't understand. I used to talk to people when I was in school. See, you have to understand the difference between being quick and being fast.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, quick you can catch. Fast you can't.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But when you got a guy quick and fast, buddy, you better hell a cab to catch these people. You're going to need a cab to catch Lamar. I'm serious. He runs, it's effortless. Everybody look like they're standing still.
Yes.
But you noticed that?
Yeah, I noticed it. It's like he got a different gear. It's like when he go middle, when he cut back and go middle, I'm like, this dude about to get hit, but nobody can ever catch him. Like, he, no one walks him or anything. It's, he's fast, man.
But look at the film on Michael Vick. People have caught him.
Mm-hmm.
Look at some of the film.
Yeah.
But you ain't catching him. He get going.
I know.
I mean, so that's why I say, when you understand the difference between being quick, you're in trouble. Fast, you can forget it. And when you're both.
Yeah, see, Michael Vick had the better arm talent.
Yeah.
I think the fastest player in the league right now is Tyreek Hill. Like, he plays in what we call fast forward mode. Like, he looked like he's definitely on a different playing field than other guys, similar to Lamar. And speaking of Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs play the Browns, who just got a big win over a division rival. Who you got in that game, Smoke?
You know the old saying, what people say, good would always triumph over evil. You ever heard that term?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, on the other side, good better be very careful all the time. And what I mean by that, Kansas City got to be careful of Cleveland. Them people ain't been there.
Oh, that team ain't good, man.
Hey, man.
They don't know they're supposed to lose.
Yeah, but they're going to lose, though.
So, but remember this, gentlemen. You know, and we all understand, but look at it this way. On any given day,
facts,
you can be beat.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Of course.
You got to come with your A game every game.
True.
You can't be slightly off. If Cleveland had to play Pittsburgh 10 times, Cleveland would probably only win one.
I agree.
But that day, all you have to be good is, you need to be good for 60 minutes that day.
Mm-hmm.
For half. And 60 minutes that next half. All you have to be good for that day. Don't care if you are all pro, and you, but the guy you playing against ain't nothing. You have to be good that day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And that was the NFL about. You have to be good that day.
Mm.
Because the playoffs, you don't worry about coming back next week. You go home.
Mm.
And they see you next year. So, like I say, gentlemen, nothing or cakewalk in the playoffs. You would never, that never resonated in your mind what you saw Pittsburgh and Cleveland. They were down 21-0. And look how they were down.
Ridiculous.
Miscued.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. So, I'm telling you, I know what you think. I think the Kansas City Chiefs got a great team, but don't think they can't be had, gentlemen.
I'm not thinking that. I think the Browns go home.
The Browns got the running backs. They got the offensive line. They got the defense. And I'm telling you, the little quarterback they got, he's tricky now.
Yeah, Baker, he's tricky.
He's tricky.
But it's a lot tricky now. Yeah, but
he ain't real bad. They didn't just give him the Heisman Trophy now. You know, they don't just give you that. In that case, we all have them on our camera, right? On our mantelpiece.
I wish.
I like Baker. I like Baker a lot. I do think they will play the Chiefs tough. I love the cold weather playoff games. I think the Browns are built for that. But can they play
four quarters of sound football?
Because they're going to have to in order to beat the Chiefs. But I see where you headed. You know, you think the Ravens are going to – you already said they're going to represent the AFC, so let's go to the NFC side. Who are they going to be playing against possibly? We got the Buccaneers and Saints, Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, the old man bowl right here, the old man championship. who you got in this game?
Well, you know, when you come up – when you, I mean, you have to give it to them, 43 or all that. If the – now – that wasn't a really – that, you know, I always say Tampa Bay is more like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Jekyll came in here last week. I think Mr. Hyde going to show up when he played New Orleans.
I agree.
Because New Orleans got him twice.
Yep.
But who's going to represent – this going to shock y'all. Remember I said it, like I told you, with the name, the Washington team name going to be. Just name them Washington team. Remember, gentlemen?
Yeah.
And Chiefs, the Chiefs.
And I appreciate y'all calling and saying, you're right, Dr. Miles. You were right.
You're right, That's right.
They went to Green Bay, and ain't nobody going to come out of there for Green Bay because he's going to show a lot of people that they count them out. And Green Bay will represent the NFC.
Okay.
I feel that. I kind of rock with that.
You heard the prediction.
I kind of rock with that.
Green Bay versus Baltimore Super Bowl. Dr. Miles, I'm gonna call you Doctor. My bad. I've been misrepresenting you. He just gave it. He just dropped the knowledge. He gave us the prediction.
Yeah, you
did. Right here on the Urban Sports thing.
It's fascinating.
I appreciate that. So I guess I don't even need to ask you about the Rams and Packers because you already
said it. You already said it. You don't got to ask him. But who gonna win the Super Bowl?
Let me ask y'all something. And I'm not being prestigious, but you ever been up to Green Bay, Wisconsin?
No, not at all.
No.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I've been to Wisconsin
now,
Avenue,
if you see it on TV and you seen some old guy, I'm telling you, it's so cold up there, man. You feel like you'll freeze where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams cannot, I mean, they play outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't indoors. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, you watch. And tell you, they're going to skip. Green Bay going to have their way with them, man. And then that cold going to be beating on you, too, mm-hmm. and you're down. No, it goes to Green Bay, so they have the advantage, gentlemen. Same thing, Tampa, mm-hmm. when they got to go up there, man, it's a different animal in that cold, gentlemen.
Yeah, and that number 12, too, a different animal, too. Like you said, he don't give back. That number 12 won't give back. That number 12 in Green mm-hmm. Bay, he wants to show the world
that's right.
that, you know, I'm still that guy. I'm still that guy.
That's right.
So yeah, no, when I was looking at the brackets, I was like, Green Bay is a tough team to knock out on that side of town. But I was with you with Tampa too. I agree. I think New Orleans just has Tampa's number. If you watch the games this season, their defense gives Brady's fits. Like their defense gets after Brady. Like so.
They do, but not this week. They won't.
Okay.
Not this week.
Mm.
Brady eat him alive. The old man gonna eat him alive.
Okay.
Because I'm saying, Dr. Hyde, you know, gonna show up.
Okay.
Dr. Hyde gonna show up there. Okay. Dr. Jekyll showed up here. That's why the Washington team could have gotten him.
Okay, gotcha.
If they didn't make the mistake, they could have gotten him, gentlemen. I know y'all seen that game. You were saying to yourself, wait a minute.
Oh yeah,
we could possibly win this thing.
Yeah, we knew
it was a possibility.
Yeah, we did though. Yeah. We did know. I didn't think. My thing was, I thought defense would play a little bit better. I did. I thought the defense would play a little bit better. And also, I didn't expect like wide receivers to drop PB football passes. I didn't expect that. Like I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
But then you also have to look at two gentlemen. The coaches was asleep out there. There's no way I'll kick an onside or a short kick.
Yes.
A short kick.
Yeah, that was, I didn't get that.
That killed us. You know.
I didn't get that.
Definitely. You know what I mean? Stop switching the secondary coverage is up and saving what you had.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Moreland, he left. What's the name? Go down the sideline.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
And I look for them to make some mistakes, but I was hoping, I'd say that they keep it close. Washington can get them.
Yeah.
But when they start making a mistake, because we allowed those mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but those drop passes wide open.
Oh, my God.
You got to get your number two threat.
You got to. You got to, man. You can't. There's a difference.
That's what cost them.
Yeah, because there's a difference, and I said this in a prior show, there's a difference of, like, dropping a pass. But they were talking about dropping, like, a pass that a high school kid can make or, like, a kid in Pee Wee playing Pee Wee football. Like, these are – and it's not like Brett Favre's throwing you these passes. It's Taylor Heineke. These things are coming in soft. And you can't, like it was amazing. The weather wasn't bad enough for you to drop passes like that. So,
it's
perfect weather, like, to catch a pass. So, I just didn't get it. So, to me, it was like I didn't expect them to play that way. But I do have one question for you, too, because you mentioned Dwayne Haskins.
Sure.
What would you, if you met Dwayne, what would you, and I'm not sure if you have met Dwayne, if you have met, if you meet Dwayne recently or something like that, what would you say to him, like, at this particular point in time in terms of his football career?
Well, gentlemen, I do know what Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. He was one of the Watkins Award recipients.
Mm.
You know, I want to sponsor the Watkins Award every year. And if y'all don't know about that, I'm going to make sure y'all get some information because they do that dinner here every year with the top athletes around the country. But I think what happened to him, the worst thing, I was one of the individuals downtown on the waterfront when they did the draft, and people got upset with me because I told them, they shouldn't take Haskins.
Mm.
And they said, why is that? Because y'all looking at color. You're not looking at what the people need. For one thing, you don't have enough experience. You played 1 year.
Mm.
And your team was better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Secondly, You shouldn't bring. He's from here.
Mm.
He should know better. But then again, money changes people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Money really changes people, gentlemen. So I think they did him a great injustice by drafting him. Now, believe me, the kid only 23 years old. He's going to have a future in the NFL, but he needed to sit behind somebody that he could learn. Unfortunately, Allen got hurt, and you know, all the kudos to him. I wish he just go ahead and retire this year and not mess with this, because he dug deaf and everything. He owed his family more than he owed us as, you know, as fans.
Facts.
But no, Haskins going to play in the NFL. But he needs to sit behind somebody, and they and he got to understand this is business here. It's not, you can't be selfish and everything. This is business. And someone have to teach him. Now, if I tell you what, gentlemen, remember I said, if you end up in Pittsburgh, watch out. Okay? Because you got the homeboy up there, the offensive coordinator. Think about it, gentlemen. But he needs to sit behind somebody where he has learned. He needs that clip on his hand, and he needs somebody to make sure he go in the film room and look at stuff. And he needs to work. He really do. Because he's talented, but talent is not enough. Just talent alone is not enough, gentlemen.
Right. Of course. That's the old saying. Hard work beats talent, and talent doesn't work hard. Not saying that Dwayne didn't necessarily work hard, but I think he could do a lot of things differently. But you said it. He's only 23 years old. So, brother, we thank you for dropping by. I want a Washington Chiefs jersey, you know, and we also look forward to joining you on your show, of course.
Mm-hmm,
and
definitely.
I'm just looking forward to the Modern Football League season.
You'll be getting that call.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get that call and hear with us when we play, because we're going to play the Washington Chiefs going to play at Cardoza. And I want to shout out to Brian. You know, we probably have the youngest GM ever at 28 years old.
That's awesome.
He took on the helm at the Maryland Coke. So, you know, that's what the NFL about, the laboratory of change.
Awesome stuff. Well, thank you for joining us, brother. If there's anything you want to drop or share before you get out of here, share with our listeners now, brother.
Absolutely. Like I say, go to our website, NFLthePF.com, and we will be starting preventing no major disaster happen. June is 5th. The NFL will start. And, we want to get an opportunity to people being, you have interns in broadcast, journalists, marketing, PR, where intern position available. And if not go for work, we're going to actually put people on the air. And we want to give them an opportunity to come and be a part and experience the NFL, the laboratory of change. And I want to thank you guys. You guys got a great show, man. You know, guys like you, I really look up to, because now, you know, we're a little older now. And to see y'all doing the things you do, things are in good hands, I must admit.
Oh, thank you so much, man. We appreciate that.
Appreciate you, man. Absolutely. All right, Mr. Miles, we'll be in touch. Have a great night, my brother.
Okay, you too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Stay blessed and stay safe.
You too. Thank you.
Oh, man, that was awesome, man. Make sure you follow the MFL on Twitter at MFL Experience and on IG at Experience the MFL and at MFL Is Here. Make sure you like the Facebook page, which is MFL, so you can search MFL and find it on Facebook. And again, like Mr. Miles said, you can also check out the MFL website at www.mflishere.com. He was dope, man. He's always insightful. Appreciate him for being on. I liked his little caveat about Dwayne Haskins. You know, Baltimore looks strong, but that dude. In Kansas City is mean though, man. That dude in Kansas City is mean. I want to see the matchup though.
Yeah.
I want to see the matchup though.
It will be good.
Mm-hmm.
It will be good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Buffalo gets past. I'm not sure Baltimore gets past Buffalo though. So
that's
we'll see.
One too, man. It's a good matchup. It's an old school matchup, put it like that, because that boy Josh Allen is mean too, man. Like, he mean, and he mobile.
Good stuff.
And he got an arm, but great stuff, man. again, appreciate everybody for listening. You all keep tuning in. Subscribe to our you can subscribe on our to our podcast on all social media platforms. Also, you can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Again, make sure you check out Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com. Again, for all of your DMV sports teams content. Again, appreciate you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Ya dig, deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Swag.